We're turning today to John chapter 11 and verse 5. John chapter 11 and verse 5. Now Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. Few simple words we will be considering today. Three times in John 11, the writer emphasized Jesus' love. Our message today, the love of Jesus Christ. The love of Jesus Christ. Here he includes Lazarus, Martha, and her sister Mary, though Mary is not mentioned by name. It is a rarity today to find an entire household who have the blessing of Jesus' love. It is rare to find an entire household that is loved by Jesus. But Lazarus, Mary, and Martha are not unique or exceptional. Every true Christian is loved by the Lord Jesus, everyone, as we saw last week. This is often hard for me to imagine, very hard. The Bible says we love him because he first loved us. John 11 verse 3 says, therefore his sisters sent unto him, saying, Lord, behold, he whom thou love is sick. Lazarus' sisters knew Jesus loved him. When Jesus loved us, others know. They see. Again, we are told in verse 36, then said the Jews, behold, how we love him. The unbelieving Jews knew Jesus loved Lazarus. Three times the narrative emphasizes the love of Jesus. Three times for his family. In a creative sense, God extends his love to all men. He sends his rain on the just as well as the unjust. But in a redemptive sense, God only extends his love to his people. Not to all people. His people. There's no such thing as universal love. Not when it comes to redemption, like some teach. The Bible does not teach that. Not everyone has this blessed privilege to have the redemptive love of Jesus. Write that down and discuss it. This love is only bestowed on those who have become children of God through faith in Jesus Christ. Remember the words of 1 John 3. Behold, what manner of love is this the Father has bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. And then John gives a qualifier. And everyone that has this hope purifies himself. If you are not in the habit of purifying yourself, you don't know the love of Jesus. Not everyone has this tremendous love. Whenever we read of the Lord's interactions in the Gospels with Mary, Martha, or Lazarus, his love for them has a profound effect in their lives. It testifies to the fact that Jesus' love is a reciprocating love. And I explain that word. I choose to use it. Big fancy word. What is meant by this is that we love him because he loves us. That's how we reciprocate the love of Jesus. The love of Jesus triggers a response to those whom he loved. Every person would want to be loved by Jesus. But every person that wants to be loved by Jesus don't love Jesus. This clears that. Hear what Jesus said to his disciples in John 15:9. If you were of the world would love his own. This is an interesting subject, love. But because you are not of the world, but I have chosen you out of the world, therefore, the world hateth you. Don't expect that this world, the people in this world, will be a friend to grace or to be your friend. Don't seek to be buddy-buddy with the world. If you are, you should watch it. It's a good comfort to say, Jesus loved me. I've heard this many times, hospital beds, different places. But people do not understand that the love of Jesus or the love of God is qualified in believing on his son. John 3:16. Jesus do not love everyone in a redemptive sense. He does not love all men. If you read the Bible, you'll see Psalm 11, verses 4 through 6. The Lord is in his holy temple. The Lord's throne is in heaven. His eyes behold. His eyelids try the children of men. The Lord trieth the righteous, but the wicked and him that loveth violence, his soul hateth. Upon the wicked he shall rain snares, fire and brimstone, and an horrible tempest. This shall be the portion of their cup. He's talking about the unsaved. They're characterized as wicked. The Lord sits in the heavens, trying the hearts of humanity. He tests or he tries his people, the righteous, but his soul hates those practicing sin. You hear saying God loves the sinner, but he hates the sin. It's the opposite. Read the Bible. Read it carefully. John says, he who believes on the Son has life. But he who doesn't believe, the wrath of God abides on him, present. Where did this theology come from? Jesus loved everybody. That's what we would like. That's what we preach. That's what is palatable. But that's not what's biblical. Let's be biblical. Today we do not associate God with hate. God has a right to hate. He's perfect. He's just. You and I don't have this right. You're to love your enemy. Do good to them. Share the gospel with them. Peradventure, God might reach them. God is perfectly just to love and to hate who he will. He is without sin. For one to be removed from the curse, the dreadful curse, we must throw ourselves on the mercy of God. I quoted a verse, he that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he have not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. This is gospel. And it is necessary to preach the gospel to your people all the time. Because today there is a misrepresentation of the gospel on the airwaves, in the pulpits. Preach the gospel, Paul said to Timothy. Preach the word. That's how God draws those whom he loves. Throw yourself on the mercy of God and you'll experience his love. To teach universal redemption or universal love is misleading to people. To know the love of Jesus, we must be saved. We must be born from above. It is a reciprocating effect when we love Jesus. A response, if you may. Do you and I really know what it took the Lord Jesus to love someone? Do you really know? I don't think many of us know what it cost the Lord Jesus to manifest his love to someone. It meant that he had to take on himself the form of a human being and absorb all my sin, past, present, future. Do you understand that? When one realizes this act of love, there will be a reciprocating and an appreciation for such a love. We don't understand. We need to stop throwing that phrase around, Jesus loves me. The Lord's love is not a wasted love. It is an efficacious love. You hear these theological words. Efficacious means that his love reaches the intended object. That's what it means. That's the love of Jesus. It's not wasted. Sometimes you and I would say, may I waste my time with him or with her? I just waste my time, waste my money. Sending him to school, educating, feeding him. I just waste my life. Jesus' love is not like that. It's a reciprocating love. An efficacious, look up these words, love. Oh, my friend. Now Jesus loved Martha and her sister Lazarus. How did this family reciprocate this great love of Jesus? This is what I would want to show you today in taking time in going through this family. How does Jesus love? How was it reciprocated? Well, the same way that those who Jesus loved today will reciprocate. Let me direct you to a few things. One, love worship Jesus. Love worships Jesus. Look at verse 1 and 2. Certain man was sick named Lazarus of Bethany, the town of Mary and her sister Martha. Verse 2. In parentheses, it was that Mary which anointed the Lord with ointment and wiped his feet with her hair, whose brother Lazarus was sick. Notice in verse 2, here in parentheses, that the narrative makes particular reference to worship. Worship of Mary. There were many with the name Mary in the New Testament. It means bitter, Mara. But there were many with this name that worshiped the Savior. But this one is the sister of Lazarus. We must be careful saying, Jesus loves me. Mary was found at the feet of Jesus. It is not only an expression of worship, but an expression of submission to be at his feet. We read of Mary at least three times in the Gospels. And each time we read of Mary, she is at the feet of Jesus. We must be careful laying claim to the love of Jesus while at the same time having no quality time to worship him. Look at verse 32 in John chapter 11. Verse 32. Then when Mary was come where Jesus was and saw him, she fell down at his feet, saying unto him, Lord, if thou had been here, my brother had not died. Here in John chapter 11, verse 3, the writer makes reference of what took place in John 12. It was that Mary which anointed the Lord with ointment and wiped his feet with her hair, whose brother Lazarus was sick. The other account where we find Mary in a posture of worship is Luke 10, 38 and 39. But notice in this text in Luke, the writer shows what constitutes worship. Let me get to Luke, brethren, before I say anything further. I think I'll forego Luke. But just have your Bibles turned to Luke. I don't want to interrupt the train of thought. In the Luke account, Mary reverenced the Lord Jesus. It tells us, which also sat at Jesus' feet. Secondly, we're told she was leaning on him. Shows the affection. And thirdly, we are told in the Luke text, and heard his word. These are things that constitute worship. Sat at Jesus' feet, listening to him, heard his word. Some may hear, but they never hear. Three times in the narrative, Jesus' love for Mary moves her to worship him, to submit to his word. We are to be careful, people, in laying claim to the love of Jesus, while at the same time, we are not interested in these things. Be careful. Be very careful. Man is a worshiper. Don't let anyone fool you. Man will worship someone or something. Romans 1 tells us that man has changed the truth of God into a lie and have worshiped the creature, the world, the creation, more than the Creator. Romans spells it out to us. Mankind, in general, he worships what he can see, what he can hear, what he can feel, what he can touch. He worships that. And yet we are called to worship God who is spirit, that we worship in spirit and in truth. We will worship, but how does one reciprocate when they are loved by Jesus? They'll worship him. They will become a listener, like Mary, to his word. They would have an intent to follow his guidance. It's a reciprocating effect from the love of Jesus. Point number two, there will be communion with him. Communion. Single letter, single syllable, single words, communion. Another word, if you want to use, is closeness. Closeness. Verse 3 says, therefore his sisters sent unto him, saying, Lord, behold, he whom thou lovest is sick. Now, Jesus is not a bellboy or an office messenger. Mary and Martha sent a messenger to Jesus because he was their Lord. Lazarus' sisters had access of communication with the Lord Jesus. That's why they sent to him. He was a frequent guest in their homes. They communed with him. You understand? You know this. Those whom Jesus loves communicate in prayer. Who dare a person to communicate with one they do not love? You can't do that. We call upon him because he intercedes on behalf of those whom he loves. You and I may try to call the President of the United States of America. You'll never get through. Try it. 6 different channels. You still ain't gonna ever talk to him. It's made that way. I went to see a man in Zimbabwe one time when we were constructing the first building. Apparently he was a wealthy man somehow. Chanana got me in there. I went to the office. He said, "Who are you? Do you have an appointment?" "Well, I don't have any time with you." I felt this small. Who dare me going into the man's office and I don't know the man? Same with Jesus. Christians have access to him. There are many channels to cross before you can reach a political figure. But the Lord, his love, grants us access to his throne. Lazarus' sister said, "Lord, he whom thou lovest is sick." We're told in John chapter 5, verses 14 and 15. 1 John 5. 14 and 15. This is the confidence that we have in him. That if we ask anything according to his will. Now this is a key. This is a key. According to his will. He hears us. And if we know that he hears us, whatsoever we ask, we know that we have the petition that we desired of him. It is a comfort. He hears us. Only the child of God he hears, unless the sinner is calling on him for repentance. The love of Jesus Christ is our topic. God communicates with us when we read and listen to his word. We want to hear from him. We communicate with him when we pray to him. We communicate with each other in sharing common interests in the things of God. Like this morning. Today, in the church, this has become rare, very rare. Yet, Jesus loves me. Be careful. Be careful. The Lord Jesus heard what was communicated to him by Martha and Mary. Though he delayed in response, he answered. And sometimes the Lord might keep you 2 days, 2 weeks, 2 years, but he will answer. Because he loves us. Verse 6 through 8. When he had heard, therefore, that he was sick, Lazarus, he abode 2 days still. Same place where he was. It's time Mary and Martha are getting anxious now. You see, he's teaching them a lesson. Wait upon the Lord. Wait, I say, upon the Lord. Then after that, he said to his disciples, "Let us go into Judea again." Disciples say unto him, "Master, the Jews have late sought to stone thee, and goest thou thither again?" No, the context tells us that Jesus waited 2 days before attempting to go to Bethany. When the Lord delays to act in our lives at a time of crisis, it doesn't mean that he loves us any less than anyone else. Get that out of your head. Another insight seen in the narrative here is that many who claim to be disciples of Jesus do not know his mind. A lot of us who say we're Christians don't know the mind of Jesus. Not reading our Bibles at all. The disciples sought to discourage the Savior. But you're going back there again? To Judea? They only saw the hardships. Discourage him. They could not see the great need. They could not see the spiritual intent of why Jesus waited 2 days. Didn't see it. Many of you don't ever see spiritual things. Spiritually slow. How is the love of Jesus reciprocated in those whom he loves? Well, follow the context. They'll worship him. Not sporadically, but systematically. They'll worship. They have a systematic way of worshiping Jesus. Some of us are sporadic. Very sporadic. Question you. All is not well with you and Jesus. We'll communicate with him in a similar manner. We'll communicate. Nowadays, you don't even know who to call to prayer. A Christian's relationship is gauged by their ecclesiastical behavior, not by how much money they make. We are reforming, correcting. But Jesus' love is also manifested, three, in resurrection power. A dead man heard the voice of Jesus and obeyed. That's how he reciprocated. A dead man, his love in resurrection power. He said in verse 11, our friend Lazarus is sleeping, but I am going that I may awake him out of sleep. This is how the Bible defines the death of those whom Jesus loves. Sleep. We shall not all sleep. It's talking about the saved. But we all shall be changed. This is the picture of what happened in John 11. Today we all have read this great miracle of our Lord. But I am not dealing with that today. I'm dealing with the phrase, no, Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. That's what I'm dealing with. I'm showing you how their love was reciprocated and how our love will reciprocate the love of Jesus. Otherwise, don't throw around that phrase. It doesn't belong to you. It can be. This miracle of Lazarus is meant to show us two things that I would just briefly state. The first is the miracle of the new birth. Lazarus being raised from the dead is a picture of one who was spiritually raised from the dead to life with Jesus. That's the intent of this miracle. We respond to him when he calls. Though we were dead, yet shall you live. John chapter 5, you can read that. Not a good passage to read is Ephesians 2. But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, he quickened us together with Christ. For by grace are you saved. That's how love reciprocates in salvation, in becoming saved. The Lord never does things off the cuff. arbitrarily. He is not unsure. The Lord was not unsure by the graveside of Lazarus. Don't think he was unsure. You and I would be unsure if you had something wonderful to do. He loves his people. So the first thing that this miracle points to is the new birth. The second thing we learn in the risen of Lazarus, what it points to, is a future resurrection. There is a future resurrection. The Bible says the hour is coming when all that are in the graves shall come forth. Some to everlasting life, and some to everlasting damnation. All would be raised. They that have done good to the resurrection of life. They that have done evil to the resurrection of damnation. Now be careful. Those who have done good can only refer to those who have become saved, because we have no good in ourselves. The Lord makes us good in his eyes. Those are the ones that are saved. Those who have done evil are those who never ever trusted Christ for salvation. They're still in their sins. They're not in a state of grace. Jesus' love will come to the fullest expression when he comes again. I wouldn't dare to tell you how this love would be manifest. I don't know. I could just read the scriptures. We don't know half of the story of the Lord's love on this side of eternity. Paul said, but it is written, I have not seen nor ear heard, neither have it entered into the heart of man, the things which God have prepared for them that love him. But God have revealed it unto them by his Spirit. For his Spirit searches all things, yes, the deep things of God. The Bible. You search the Bible? Do you read it? That's how you know if you love Jesus. That's how you know if he loves you. No, I read it for 2 weeks. Well, here is your answer. Don't kid yourself, Brother Offney. Don't throw around those words. Be guided into truth from the scriptures. Not hard. This, by the way, this quote is from Isaiah 64:4. For since the beginning of the world, men have not heard nor perceived by the ear, neither have I seen, O God, beside you, what he have prepared for him, the one who is waiting on him. Love waits. When you love Jesus, you wait. You wait. You don't rush on and try to go ahead of it. You wait. Abraham got into trouble. You wait. You're sick. You wait. You can go and try something. Love waits. Patiently. Gospel is received by faith. We do not know the full story on this side. Paul said that God has revealed them unto us by his Spirit. For the Spirit searches all things. Reveal to us that there's a hereafter, an eternity. Mary and Martha, just like us, only saw the immediate. Lord, if you'd been here, you wouldn't have died. Both of them said the same thing. Verse 21 and verse 32. They all saw the immediate. If you was here, my brother would not have died. Lord looked at them and said, listen, I am the resurrection and the life. The one who believes in me, though he be dead, yet shall he live. And whoever believes in me shall never die. Eternal life. He brought the gospel. Does Jesus love you? You are quick to say, yeah. You give me a brand new outfit. Brand new vehicle. What a love me. Well, read Psalm 95. Read Psalm 37. Read Psalm 73. Brethren, if you have been here, my brother would not have died. The Lord Jesus is not a bellhop. He's God. Had Jesus came and only restored Lazarus to good health from physical sickness, he would not have gotten the message across. We would not have received the message. Many have received physical healing at the hand of the Lord Jesus. But this is common grace. Some of you had the virus. God restored you. That's common grace. There are a lot more than you that was restored from corona. A lot more. I often wonder about the people in Chuma, bopping about there, no mask, scarcely washed their hand. As far as I know, only one of them had it. It's beyond me. How God protected the ignorant and inflicted the wise. These people don't seem to have any concern. Buses, people cramming, bouncing off of one another. I don't know. But had Jesus restored Lazarus to full health when he was sick, we wouldn't have gotten the message. Lazarus is a picture of those who receive much more than common grace. But saving grace that is greater than all our sin. He was raised from death to life. A host of realities follows those who are raised from death to life. We hear them all the time. Colossians tell us that if we are risen with him, we will seek those things that are above. We will set our affection on heavenly things if we are risen with him. Jesus' love is not for everybody. Otherwise, we will be setting our affection on things above. Let me make myself perfectly clear this morning. And let me make the scriptures just as clear. And you can go home and you can investigate and you can ask the theologians and they'll tell you the same thing if they're faithful. So come back to me and tell me what you learned from your investigation. Host of realities. You and I ought to be careful throwing these words around. Jesus loves me. Love reciprocates. It pays back. We love him because he first loved us. We worship him. We commune with him. We are raised with him. But there's one last thing. In the way we reciprocate, we fellowship with him. Not only with him, but with his people. We fellowship. Koinonia. We already saw that John alludes to Martha, Mary, and Lazarus after he was restored. John 11, verse 2. It was Mary which anointed the Lord with ointment and wiped his feet with her hair, whose brother Lazarus is sick. Now this incident is where we turn to chapter 12, verse 1 and 2, where we see the details. John 12, 1 and just across the page, we read here, then 6 days before the Passover, Jesus came to Bethany. This is where Mary and Martha and Lazarus lived, Bethany, 6 days before the cross. Where Lazarus was, which had been dead, whom he raised from the dead. There they made him a supper, and Martha served, but Lazarus was one of them that sat at the table with him. John chapter 12 comes after John chapter 11, and rightly so. In John chapter 11, Lazarus was raised from the dead. In chapter 12, Lazarus is seated with the Lord. Just like the demonic man in Mark 5 or Mark 4, whatever it is. My friends, you and I cannot have fellowship with him until he gives us life. It's a dramatic picture that John brings out. Lazarus is now seated with Christ with his sisters. Well, you know the two sisters represent the church. He's not in the wild somewhere. He's not punged in the pavement. Lord, will Jesus love us? Where are we with respect to that love? This ought to explain why so many have become part-time worshipers, occasional drifters. Those whom Jesus loved will reciprocate in some simple but some profound ways. This man that was dead is now seated with Jesus. He's partaking in a meal. And I guess that you men can put it together. I don't have to explain it. What meal do we partake in when we are seated with Jesus? Well, if you ain't know, I'm wasting my time preaching and teaching here. How do you and I demonstrate that we are loved by the Lord Jesus? How do you show that you love the brethren? Mary, Martha, and Lazarus were family. You know, it is so unfortunate that some of us treat one another like distant strangers. Grunt as you're going out the door, grunt something, and go on. Terrible. Yeah, we do that. Grunt something at the pastor. That's the way it kind of Joshua. Is that the way it's supposed to be? Joshua said that. He says, Mom, you used to come in at night and kiss me. Now you come in and you go straight to bed. Is that the way it's supposed to be? Kid is right. I'm sorry that I use these excerpts, but they're food for applications that I feed you. 1 John, if someone says, I love God and hates his brother, he's a liar. For he who does not love his brother whom he sees, how can he love God whom he has not seen? Quit saying you love God. Quit it. Quit it. I'm serious. And this commandment we have from him, that he who loves God must love his brother also. Same love. It's a redemptive love. It's an agape love. No condition. I told you, we'd go to Africa with this attitude. I went down there with a bad attitude. I'm waiting on them. I'm waiting. I've got nothing for them. God broke our hearts. Is that the love I show you? Jesus was a frequent guest at the home of Martha, Mary, and Lazarus. I say this because the Lord had a social life. He was not always healing and preaching. He identified with friends. He was not aloof. He identified with families. He entered into their lives. As poor as the people are in Africa, we were able to go in their huts, sit on the floor with them, broach their roasted nuts, gave us a handful. Then what was left, we took home. Ministry is not only preaching men, it is identifying. These things, said he, and after that he saith unto them, our friend Lazarus sleepeth. Verse 11. But I am going that I may awake him out of his sleep. Friend, the Lord uses the Greek word here, philios, for friend. This shows that he had a friendship relationship with his family. Jesus did not have many friends. But rest assured, Martha, Mary, and Lazarus were his friends. Philios, a brotherly, as we get the word Philadelphia, a brotherly love is very rare. The ministry is a lonely place. Not many people want to befriend a servant in the ministry. For Jesus to befriend this family says a whole lot. Not only about our Lord, but about this family who were transparent, who were open, and who were not closed like some of us. Tell us half-truths. It's always half-truths I hear. Not the whole, I can't let him know everything, you know. That's dangerous. A half-truth is a whole lie. Saul told a half-truth. I brought back this. Yeah, I did, but the people, you know, lost the kingdom. Does God have pleasure in sacrifice more than he has in obedience? Lonely place. It says a whole lot about this family here. Love finds room to reciprocate, to appreciate, to show hospitality. I'm sure that when Jesus entered into this home, he didn't talk about the latest headlines or the tabloids or the most famous political figure. That's why he was comfortable in this house. You fellowship around those things Christians love. This word koinonia is the word agreement. In the natural sense, the Lord ate supper with the family of Lazarus, Martha, and Mary. He ate there. Well, Nigel, I forget you. But when Jesus loves us, we share in the ordinance of the Lord's Supper. That's what it points to. It's a different supper. So there's a problem in differentiating whom Jesus loves and who Jesus loves in this element of the Lord's Supper. It's a problem. Christians share in fellowship with their Lord when the bread is broken. The mutual fellowship of love. We never have a perfect communion. Never. But at least let us be clear in our testimony that we love Jesus. And that Jesus loves us. Let's be clear. Otherwise, we can't have it. We're not clear. And you deacons, you need to bear witness with me, please. Correct me if I'm wrong. Please do. Don't be afraid. Correct me. I stand to be corrected. You're not puppets. You too, Brother Depo. I know you will tell me the right thing. I know. And that's why I surround myself around you. Help us with these matters in our church. We're familiar with the famous words, behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come into him and will sup with him and he with me. Here again, you see the mutual fellowship of suffering together. But the key in understanding these words is, if any man hear my voice, if any man hear my voice, I will come in. This is a big word. Certainly, we hear the word of God every day. You're not hearing. Because he hasn't come in. He's still knocking. You never opened the door for his fellowship. Until his love is revealed in salvation. Then, if any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come in. Hear the voice of love. Son, daughter, I love you. When you hear that, you'll open. Observe, is a mutual fellowship. I will sup with him, and he with me. Yeah, this kind of fellowship. Haven't these truths become clear to us? Hasn't God given us eyes to see these things this morning? Mary heard his word. Martha heard his word. Lazarus heard his word, though he was dead. Came forth. Let us not throw around these words. Jesus loves me. Let us observe the ways that we would reciprocate and acknowledge him if he loves us. We have to do it. In summarizing these words, now Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. Can you place your name here among these three with that assurance? If you can, where is his worship? Where is his worship? Why must you be hounded about this worship? You need to look at this again. Can you put your name here? Today, Sunday, is the biggest business day and the biggest sporting day. Are you a part of the business on Sunday? Or sport? You're looking at someone that was a basketball freak. God took that away from me long ago with Magic Johnson and all the rest. Took it away. You need to worship me. And these clungs and all these tattoos, you want to worship there? Many worship in front of the television. That's the biggest showpiece when you walk in. R.C. Sproul said this, a God who is all love, all grace, all mercy, no sovereignty, no justice, no holiness, and no wrath, is an idol. You have it in your bulletin. It was placed there for you to read. I'm just quoting part of what R.C. Sproul said. You know him. He was a Presbyterian voice that has gone to be with the Lord. He concurred with what I just said. A God who is all love, all grace, all mercy, no sovereignty, no justice, no holiness, no wrath, is an idol. Do you have that kind of God? I introduce you to the God in the person of Christ. But this God that R.C. Sproul describes is the God men love. They get confused. God loved me. This is the God they love. This is not the God that I can preach. We preach the God of love who calls us to worship. The God who calls us to closeness and communion. The God who calls us to resurrection from the dead. And that God who calls us to fellowship. That's the God I preach. Go home with that. When Jesus loves us, we will worship him alone. Today, worship to our Lord is slowly being pinched off. And again, when he bringeth in the first begotten into the world, he said, and let all the angels of God worship him. All the angels worship him. All the angels, the good ones, not the fallen ones like Satan, the good ones, let all the angels of God worship Jesus. Who are we to worship the world? May God bless. O Heavenly Father, may it never be that I misguide our people in relationship to the love of Jesus. And may I never deceive myself that Jesus loves me when I do not love him. I pray, O Lord, this day for myself, for the men that I am surrounded with, that you will instill in us the love of Jesus, and that our love would be a reciprocating love, and that we will stop kidding ourselves. Help us this hour.